Our first reading today from the prophet Jeremiah is a very important prophecy from the Old Testament because it's the prophecy that the Lord is going to make a new covenant with his people. And so if we look back at the very beginning of creation, when God created Adam, and in the Garden of Eden, there was an original covenant. And the day seven of the covenant was the Sabbath. And that was the day of the covenant. And what a covenant is it establishes a family relationship between God and his people. So when God created the first man and woman, he created them to be in a relationship with him, that they would be his sons and daughters. And that's ultimately the very purpose for which we exist, is to be in that family relationship with God. The concept of a covenant is foundational throughout all of salvation history and throughout all of Scripture, beginning with the book of Genesis. And throughout the Old Testament, there's multiple covenants that God establishes. The word testament actually means covenant. And so, the two halves of Scripture are the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And so that's how important this concept is in terms of Scripture. But as we go through the Old Testament, what we see is that again and again, human beings break God's covenant. They turn away from him. They worship false gods. They refuse to obey his commandments. And ultimately, they reject his love. And so the history of salvation is the story again and again of man turning away from God and God trying to bring him back, to reestablish the covenant and bring them back into a relationship with him. And so Jeremiah teaches us several things about this new covenant that's going to be established. And he says that it's going to be different than all of the other covenants that were given. And one thing that he says is that the law is not going to be written on stone tablets. That's a reference to the Ten Commandments in the covenant with Moses. But instead, it would be written upon their hearts. So there is going to be an internalization in the new covenant that would penetrate into people's hearts in a way that wasn't there with the old covenants. And he said that, Jeremiah said that God would reveal himself in a way that he hadn't revealed himself before, that everyone from the least to the greatest would know the Lord. And so there would be this intimate knowledge of the Lord that would come with the new covenant that wasn't there before. And he also says that the Lord would forgive their sins. And so the forgiveness of sins would be part of this new covenant. And so when was this new covenant established? And that brings us to the gospel, when Christ says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The hour for the new covenant to be established. That's what Christ is referencing in today's gospel. And it's going to be very clear, because we're going to hear these words, "the new covenant," come up again. And they're going to come up at the Last Supper, when Christ takes the chalice and he says the words, "This is the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so with the Last Supper, Christ offers the sacrifice of himself to establish the new covenant. And that would be completed on the hill of Calvary the following day when he would offer his blood for the forgiveness of sins. And so the prophecy that Jeremiah gives in today's first reading of the new covenant is fulfilled by Jesus Christ at the Last Supper. And so there's a couple things I want to highlight about the new covenant. First, God reveals himself in a way that he didn't in the Old Testament. People would have a deeper knowledge of him than they were able to have before. And what does Christ reveal? Well, one of the key things that he reveals is that God loves us so deeply that he left the glory of heaven to be among us. And who would have ever thought that God himself would become man and offer his life on the cross, the most shameful and painful death possible, that God would actually do that for our sake? You know, most people in this world have never experienced pure, selfless love. You know, there's a lot of people that have experienced hatred or have been wounded. But how many people have really experienced pure and authentic love? And to think that God himself would leave the glory of heaven and reveal that to us. And so this is a knowledge of God that wasn't possible in the Old Testament. Nobody in the Old Testament times would have ever believed that it would be possible for God to do that for our sake. And yet that's what Jesus Christ revealed at the Last Supper. And Christ says that his blood would be poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Again, to fulfill what Jeremiah had prophesied. The way and the only path to forgiveness for sins is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's why he offered his life on the cross. There's no other source for the forgiveness of sins. God could have chosen to forgive sins in a different way, but he chose to do it through his sacrifice on the cross. And those graces are available to us through the sacraments. Those are the channels in which we receive the grace of forgiveness of sins. And so we're fortunate as because we are part of the covenant to have a deeper and a more intimate knowledge of God and to have access to the forgiveness of sins through the sacraments of the church. And the other thing that Christ says is that the new covenant is the eternal covenant. And what that means is that there's going to be no other covenant. You know, in the Old Testament, when covenants were broken, God would establish a new covenant. There's going to be no future covenants. There is one eternal covenant which has been established for us. And that covenant doesn't end when we die. It's eternal, meaning it lasts into eternity. So the saints who are in the glory of heaven right now are there because they're part of the covenant. They are sons and daughters of God because they've entered into the covenant. And they, at this very moment, are experiencing the fruits of that covenant. They know that their sins were forgiven because of that covenant. And they rejoice in their dignity as sons and daughters of God and their ability to see God face to face because of the covenant. It's absolutely fitting that our worship as members of the Catholic Church is centered upon the covenant. You know, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ at the Last Supper is made present for us here at Mass. And that's the central element of what the Mass is. That's why every time we celebrate the Mass, the priest in the person of Christ says those same words, "This is the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." That's the center of our worship. Our worship isn't about our entertainment. It's not about having a good time when we come to church. Our worship is centered on the covenant that Jesus Christ has established with us. You know, prayer is very good, and we should pray, and it's powerful. You know, gathering together on Sunday as a community is very important, and it's good that we're here. You know, singing praises God, and that's good that we sing praise to God. But above all things, the Mass is the renewal of our covenant with Jesus Christ. You know, it's unfortunate that so many people, for whatever reason, whether they don't understand what the covenant is or if they've left for other reasons, so many people have lost sight of what the covenant is, and they've turned away from the Mass. So many Catholics have turned away from the faith and no longer come to Mass. But the reality is there's no other place that we can go for salvation. There is no other place that we can go for fulfillment, because the very purpose for which we were created is to enter into a covenantal relationship with God. There's many false promises out there of happiness and utopias, but there's only one promise that ultimately delivers, and that's the promise of Jesus Christ. And so the most important mission of the church, while the church does many things, the church does incredible acts of charity in the world. The church feeds the poor. The church educates children. The church runs orphanages and hospitals. You know, the church is meant to be a moral voice to society, to guide people in the right direction. The church does many things, but the most important mission of the church is to draw people into the new and eternal covenant, to bring people into communion with God and help them to attain the very purpose for which they were created. And ultimately, the reason why we exist, and the highest goal, the highest end of the human person, and the greatest possible use of our freedom, the greatest thing that we can do is to enter into the covenant and to dedicate our lives to Jesus Christ. And that's the covenant that's offered to us this morning as we celebrate this Mass.